This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year.
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations. Forgotten. The history.
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
There's only one. There's only one pod in the Motor City that's keeping you up to date on everything Detroit sports. This is the Daily Ticket with your host, Jeff Rieger.
Hey everybody, what's going on? Jeff Rieger, another episode of the Daily Ticket. It's the 5th, it's April, it's a Friday, it's 2024, and it's officially opening day. Depending when you're watching this or listening to this, maybe you're headed downtown. Here's what I want to do. Tigers are pretty damn good. Now, they're not as good as they could have been, because yesterday they played a double dip against the New York Mets after getting rained out in back-to-back games. And unfortunately, the series ended on quite a sour note. Like, game one was fantastic. They fell behind 3-0. They get a run in the sixth, a run in the seventh, a run in the eighth, Riley Green with a solo shot. And then they win the thing in extra innings, 6-3. And Colt Keith, big hit in extra innings. And then game two, he was sensational, a couple of hits as well. So it looks like he's coming along a little bit. But then game two rolls around. Tigers got a great chance for a 6-0 start. Would have been the best start since 2015. I even did a little pre-research. I looked up a 7-0 start, which, by the way, they could have done if they would have beat the Mets in game two. And then, of course, the Oakland Athletics in game one later on today. The A's stink. The Mets blow. I was thinking to myself, a 7-0 start. When was the last time the Tigers had a 7-0 start? The answer, 1984. They started like 9-0. And of course, 1984, they won it all. And this year happens to be the 40-year anniversary of the Tigers winning the World Series. So I did get a little ahead of myself. I'm not going to lie. But in game one, it was fantastic. Fall behind 3-0, come back, you win it 6-3. Casey Mize looked good, only lasted 4 1/3, but I thought his stuff was good. I don't think he's going to love his stat line, but the fact that it's been 721 days since the former number one overall pick's been on the mound, I'd say a win. And he's only going to get better. And he was impressive. And then in game two, Matt Manning was really impressive. This is a dude that was brought up as the 27th member of the team. Because it was a double dip, you're allowed to do that. Matt Manning, I think to the surprise of some, did not make the team. And he pretty much told the Tigers and the fans and baseball, I probably should be a major league pitcher. Because yesterday, he took a no-hitter through 5 2/3. He was actually taken out of the game during a no-hitter. 5 2/3, 4 walks, 3 strikeouts, 90 pitches. Now, I get it. Listen, I understand. Last year, combined no-hitter, I believe it was in June or July, Matt Manning was the starter. A.J. Hinch yanked him. I was all over A.J. I thought it was weak. I thought it was pathetic. Like, let the kid, let him try for history. People disagreed with me. This time around, I totally get the move. Of course, you yank him. You're only up 1-0. Javier Baez gave you your only run. So, yes, yank him. And Tyler Holton came in, and next thing you know, Alex Fiedo came in, and he should not have been closing the game. But A.J. Hinch had nobody else. Bullpen was taxed. 3 games in like 24 hours. So Fiedo gave up a solo shot to Pete Alonso, and then he got walked off, and the Tigers lost. So what looked to be a 6-0 start is actually a 5-1 start. But that's pretty damn good. They got one of the best records in all of baseball. all of baseball. So now the real question comes out, though. As we get ready for opening day and the Tigers take on the A's for three games and they hop back on the road to Pittsburgh for two games. And by the way, Pittsburgh's pretty good. Only one loss. And then they come back for a homestand. I do wonder if people think the Tigers are any good. Like, there's one part of you that says, dude, they've played fucking nobody. Like, the White Sox stink. They're absolutely atrocious. Yesterday, they lost to the Royals like 10-1. And the Royals stink, too. They played the Mets. The Mets were at one point 0-5. They're pathetic, too. So the teams that the Tigers beat are lousy, but they still beat them. And the pitching looked good while beating them. And the bullpen, for the most part, looked absolutely lights out. So are they real? And when I ask for real, I mean winning the division. This is a winnable division, people. It really is. The AL Central is the AL Comedy Central. We already know the White Sox suck. We know the Royals aren't any good. So it's pretty much down to you, Minnesota, who won it last year, and the Guardians. And Minnesota, by the way, has injury problems. Not to mention, they had TV issues. Like, their bellies went belly up. So they cut their payroll by $30 million. They allowed Sonny Gray to walk out the door. Now, Sonny Gray came in for second place voting in the Cy Young. They got rid of a very good pitcher. It's the weirdest thing. They finally win a playoff series, and then they get rid of everybody, and they cut the payroll. I don't think the Twins are going to win the division again. And I don't trust the Guardians. And that leaves the Tigers. And the only downside about the Tigers is they're hitting. Is it good enough against good teams to win the division? So if you'd be so kind on the comment section, let me know. Is this team real? And if you say, I need to see more, I can't give you more. You got six games of evidence right in front of you. You got to choose. Are they real or are they not? I say yes, they're real. In a bad division, they are good enough to win the division. I think the bullpen's real. I think the arms are real. And yes, I think the offense is kind of light, but hopefully on some days they'll score just enough to win some ball games. But for this podcast, here's what I wanted to do. I want to give you some good and some bad as we get you ready for opening day. The good will look like this if you're watching it on YouTube. The good. I'll name a good. The bad, like that. Again, if you're watching on YouTube. So here we go. The good. The bullpen. This bullpen is absolutely amazing. We're talking over 27 innings with giving up three runs, and it would have been one run if Alex Faedo didn't give up two runs at the end of the game yesterday in game two. This bullpen has been lights out. And it doesn't even matter who you go to. The guys get the job done. Like, if you look at game one yesterday, you're talking Joey Wentz for the first time, thought he pitched well. Alex Lange rebounded after what happened last Saturday, walking the bases loaded. Andrew Chafin was good. Jason Foley, he's from New York. That had to be special for him. He's filthy. Shelby Miller pitched not one but two innings in game one. I mean, this bullpen is nasty. It's absolutely nasty. You're talking 27 innings, only giving up three runs. And I do believe it's sustainable, and I do believe they're that good. And I think you add the fact that A.J. Hinch knows how to use the pen and knows how to work those matchups and understands that he doesn't really have a closer, and it's all about high-leverage situations and when to use a guy for the biggest outs of the game. Like, I think you add Hinch to that pen, and that's the good. Here's the bad. The offense. They are ranked 27th in baseball in RBIs. Not good enough. And I think we worried about that. I think we knew the offense might be a little light. But they're not driving in runs. They don't score in regulation innings. I did the research. I know it's weird, but I wanted to give it to you anyway. The Tigers in actual innings, six games, 1 through 9 innings, they have 14 runs. 54 total innings, 14 runs. In extra innings, when you get the ghost runner, they have 9 runs in extra innings. They've gone way too many games so far through 6 games where they're not putting up enough offense. First game of the season, they scored one run. Last game of the road trip, they scored one run. It was a Javier Baez RBI single. I worry about the offense. I don't think it's good enough. And if the Tigers are not going to win the division, it's going to be because of the offense. The good. Comerica Park's revamped. As we get ready for opening day, brand new scoreboard costs $30 million. Now, you wonder why not spend that $30 million on the payroll, but whatever. It looks like a Tetris piece. I know maybe I'm being negative, but I can't get past it. It's a massive scoreboard, and it looks cool. And I've seen videos and snippets from people on social media because they're right around Comerica Park, and they're testing it. So it does look cool, and it's definitely an upgrade. But it's so weird because it is a square, and then it's missing the corner pieces on the bottom. Once you see it, I'm not quite sure you'll be able to unsee it, but here's the deal. Maybe when it's on and doing its thing, you won't even notice. I don't know. Also, if you walk around Comerica Park, the tube TVs are gone. They're all flat screens. So that's good, too. Tigers finally got serious about making the fan experience a good one at Comerica. So I would say that is the good. Let's go back to the bad. The bad. I don't want to do this because we did it last year, but I am going to do it. Spencer Torkelson. Spencer Torkelson's hitting 185. He's got one RBI. He's got an OPS of 399. Torque has not been good enough to start the season. Again, just six games. It's probably not fair to talk about this, but I'm going to do it anyway. I am worried that Spencer Torkelson is Tony Clark. Do you remember Tony Clark? I mean, this is from my youth.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Tony Clark played first base for the Tigers. He now is, what, the president of the union, I believe, in baseball. But anyway, Tony Clark was notorious for tearing the cover off the ball once the Tigers were 30 games under 500. Never failed. July rolls around. Tigers are out of the race. Doesn't matter. Just getting through the season. Tony Clark caught fire. I wonder if Torque is the same guy. I know it's not fair to ask right now. I get it. I understand. But Torque has to produce big moments and big at-bats when it matters. Hasn't done that yet. So you might think it's unfair, but I give Spencer Torkelson, at least for now, the bad. Let's go to the good again. How about Colt Keith? Colt Keith getting it done. First three games, not all that impressive with the stick. It's going to take a little bit of money. Going to take a little bit of time. You know, they gave him $26 million. He never had played in a Major League Baseball game. You know, there's pressure there. But I was really impressed with Colt Keith yesterday. In game one, in extra innings, he came up with a big-time RBI double. And then in game two, he had a couple of hits as well. And he can pick it at second base. Like, he is a big second baseman. He's 6'2", 211. But, man, he made some really nice plays on some Gio Urshela throws to save some innings. He ended an inning in game one with a really nice catch. I think Colt Keith can pick it at second base, and I think the hitting is going to be there. And I think Colt Keith deserves to be in the good category. The bad. You're not going to like this one either. Matt Vierling. Matt Vierling's not even hitting 100. And I know they like him because he can play all these different positions. But man, that bat is just not there. I didn't see it last year. I don't see it this year. The bad. Matt Vierling. I got a couple more goods and a couple more bads for you. Then we send you on your way. We'll read some comments and then get ready for opening day. I would say the good is Gio Urshela. 462 batting average, couple RBI, had a really nice game one. yesterday of the double dip. The other thing, too, is he plays a good third base. And you got him for dirt cheap, $1.5 million. Now, don't get me wrong. I would rather still have Matt Chapman, because I think Matt Chapman is gold glove caliber defensively, and I think he's going to rake. I do. But $1.5 million, Gio Urshela, he's quick on the base pass. He makes good defensive plays at third, and it seems like he's got a really good eye for the ball, not to mention he's an annoying hitter. And I don't mean that as an insult. I think he annoys the crap out of opposing pitchers. The good, Gio Urshela. I think that was a good Scott Harris pickup. I'll give you one more bad and one more good, and then we get on our way. The bad, Parker Meadows' offense. Like, I understand he's out there strictly for defensive purposes. I totally get that. Makes perfect sense. He's a good defensive center fielder. But, man, he's going to have to hit a little bit. He's hitting right around .067. I know it's six games. I know he flashed a little bit of power last year. I know he's not going anywhere. I know they really like him. But, man, Parker Meadows really is going to have to pick it up offensively. Let's go to one more good. I think you got to talk about Tarek Skubal. Tarek Skubal, what an honor he's got. Not only is he a front runner for the Cy Young, but Tarek Skubal gets to start opening day, and he started the opener of the season. That doesn't happen very often. Now, because of the rain delays and being able to bring up the 27th player, which they did with Matt Manning, Tarek Skubal gets to start in front of a sold-out Comerica Park. That place is going to be bumping and crazy, and it's going to be awesome. And let's not forget, in his first outing against the White Sox, I know it's the White Sox, not going to get any worse because the A's stink too. Tarek Skubal was really good. Six innings of scoreless baseball. I think it's going to be a blast to watch how good Skubal can be all season long. I got one more good. I think we can say it's good. How about Javier Baez? Javi Baez has four hits. That's right up there for second most on the team, I believe. He's got four hits in five games. Do you know last year to get the four hits, it took him 11 games? He also was responsible for two RBI. Each one turned out to be the only run in the game. Happened in the opener against the White Sox. They won 1-0. Happened in game two of the double dip yesterday. They were ahead 1-0. Until they ended up losing it on a walk-off, 2-1. Alex Faedo couldn't get the job done. But Javier Baez, after taking a whole lot of shit from a whole lot of people and not having a good spring at all, I don't know. He's kind of getting it done. I mean, he's not getting it done, but he's not as bad as we thought he was going to be. Javier Baez currently hitting really deep in the lineup. He's hitting .211 with two RBI. So again, it's not great, but it's not as bad as some of the other hitters on this team. So I'll give Javi the good. I got no problem with that. Anyway, it's pretty much it for the Daily Ticket. I thought it'd be fun. Get you ready for opening day. Run down some goods, run down some bads. Are the Tigers for real? Let me know in the comment section. In the meantime, let's do some comments and then go enjoy your weekend, people. Yesterday's podcast was about the Lions making the right move. WRIGHT, bringing back Brock Wright. I got two comments for you. Comment number one, Kingdom Thinker 9794. I only read this comment because they're nice. Love the show, Mr. Rieger. Thumbs up. And that got a like. So thank you. Means the world to me. Twins 111105. Says, unless there's some underlying character issues that I'm not aware of, I think Xavier Howard will be a solid addition to our secondary. I do believe he's past his prime, but he absolutely has some gas left in the tank. If we could land him on a one-year deal, I'd feel so much better in the quarterback room. Yeah, we were talking about how Xavier Howard said on a podcast that he actually wants to come to Detroit. Little cold, but he'd be down to come here because he wants to win a Super Bowl. And the Lions need corner help badly. Still, they got about seven dudes on the roster. But none of the guys, at least in my opinion, are good enough to really improve the secondary, something that was a huge issue last season. So that's going to do it for the Daily Ticket. I hope you all have a fantastic weekend. We'll recap the Tigers and the A's and whatever else comes our way. In the meantime, enjoy opening day. Enjoy Detroit. Dude, not to mention, I mean, I almost forgot. The Red Wings have a massive game against the Rangers today, and the Red Wings now are in a four-team race to make the postseason. They got six games left. They're currently a point out because the Islanders won last night, so the Islanders currently in that last playoff spot. Islanders can still catch Philly. There's so many different scenarios. It's all so confusing. Here's the beautiful thing, though. As long as the Red Wings continue to win, if they play like they played against Tampa Bay, if they play like they played against Florida, we're going to be in the second season. If they don't, it's going to be very depressing, and Derek Lalonde might get whacked. So, all right. Big day of sports. Opening day in the Red Wings and the Rangers. I think the Pistons might play. Do we care? I don't even know. I could look it up for you. I think they do. I don't care. Do you? No, of course you don't. All right. That's going to do it for the Daily Ticket. We'll catch you on a Monday. Enjoy your weekend. See ya.